What a great St. Patrick's Day. No, I tell you, this is an exciting day, amen? Not just because we meet the house of God, but because today is the green cup. I'm just thrilled. Hey, look at the map. Let's look at the map. Come on, is the map there? I was thinking of wearing my shirt for today, but I thought maybe it's just a little bit too premature. See, I tell you, my wife Joan is in Edmonton. She's an accountant, and I don't know. I think she might have been secretly hired for counting today for the Griders. I'm not sure. She's not at the Grey Cup, but. I have an idea what she's going to do. I know what she's going to do, in fact. She's going to actually, in the last play, she's going to actually take a box of Tim Hortons donuts, just a dozen of them, and she's going to say, everyone take a donut, and the 13th guy, you sit on the bench. That way, you're taking care of any problems. But one thing for sure, we know 46 guys are sitting around today in Calgary watching the Grey Cup. We know that. Right? And I got to tell you, the things I do for you, I dug up this green tie, my waist away, so I could do that. And I wore this white shirt. But I wanted to wear a jersey or something. I wanted to wear some kind of a shirt. Maybe, not that one. I wanted to actually.
Look at this.
Isn't there a K in Kate? Should I put it on? I'm going to preach in this, I'll tell you. If I put it on, I'm preaching in it. You okay if I preach in this? You're all naughty. The ones in green are going, yeah. The rest of you are going, what? Speak French. No, don't even say that. Don't. Kate says a Christian, that's right. That's right. Hey, what do you think? Yeah, go right. Okay, you can all go home now. No, this actually looks okay. Sorry. You know, it's amazing. Oh, I got to kind of try and get back where we're. You know, it's amazing, though, what happens when things don't go our way. I was really upset. I couldn't find some kind of a jersey or shirt. I even went out last night, and I phoned someone and asked if they had a jersey, and they said, I'm wearing it tomorrow. But no, they actually didn't have one. But it's amazing what happens when things don't go our way, when we don't understand what's happening, or we just can't let things unfold the way they should. Like, I'm sure, and I'm going to go back to last year, I'm sure the Riders thought they had the Grey Cup. Because they did have it. And all of a sudden, things didn't go the way it was planned. You know, that happens in our life. We can be experiencing what's happening, but can't explain why it's happening. Do I look good in this? I'm feeling green, I tell you. The Apostle Paul had some words to say about that in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, our knowledge is imperfect, but when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall fully understand. See, I'm sure the exuberance last year at the Grey Cup was one. Yeah, we've won. And then, wait a minute, you had 13 players. You had 13 guys on the field. What? We don't get this. We didn't get it? Are you sure? See, even when we don't fully understand what is happening, we experience what's happening. Even though we don't fully understand what God is doing in this world of ours, we experience his presence in this world of ours. Beginning of the service, you had to wait. You had to wait for a few moments until we began. You didn't know what was happening. You were probably questioning. Boy, I hope they get started soon so we can get home for the Grey Cup. You know? You were waiting. There's something to be said about waiting for God's best. John the Baptist had a group of followers, had disciples, and I'm sure they did a lot of wondering. I mean, I would think that they questioned a great deal. What's happening now? Can we make it? I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 3. It's a great passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 3. We're going to look at John the Baptist's followers in Luke chapter 3. I'm going to start reading from verse 2. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight and rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. What should we do? See, the people were waiting expectantly, verse 15 says. And they were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. You see, much like the writers last year, much like us many times, the disciples of John heard the answer to their question. And they began to bog and weave as the earth shook below them. Their world became rocky as John the Baptist answered their question. In verse 16, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You see, John's disciples needed to wait. But they didn't want to wait. They thought, we've been following this guy. But what they didn't understand is they would soon become part of the most extraordinary event in human history. But they didn't know that. They weren't aware of that. Their world revolved around John the Baptist. I'm sure they thought, well, we're following the Messiah. This doesn't make sense. They didn't see what would come to pass. Their world would shake. It would be in an upheaval. But soon they would be part of world spiritual history. God himself would be among them in the person of Jesus Christ. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming, and you will make it through. You see, just like John's disciples, you can choose how you react to events in which God does his finest work. You see, some look at Christmas and, oh, they go, I can't do this. They're just frantic. I got to buy. I got to take out my fourth mortgage on the house. I can't do this anymore. Others are saying, this is everything but peace at this time. The world is an upheaval. It's shaken up. And just when you think you got it, there's a 13th man on the field. Waiting. We don't like to wait. See, we like to have the knowledge now. We don't want blindness. But we can't trust the Savior who knows our blindness unless we're blind. That's what trust is, not knowing. See, John's disciples are privileged to witness the birth, the beginning to a wonderful saving history, a power known to none other. But I'm sure that there were reservations from them. I'm sure they were really prepared to hear the man that they were following say that he was the Messiah. But John was preparing the way for the Messiah. And so he preached the good news to the people during that time, that it negates our examination of such news. Luke tells us that, verse 3, he went into all the country around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Well, how could repentance be good news? Repent! When we hear that, we almost shiver. Let's talk about something else. See, how does that fit with our Christmas adventure? I mean, how does that fit, that good news of repentance? You see, what John is actually saying here is, are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Would you like to experience genuine joy in your life? Is that what is bothering you, brothers and sisters? Then open your hearts and open your minds and change. Change the way God wants you to. Allow God to just envelop you in such a way that you're washed clean, you are holy in His sight. If you want that, you need to change. You need to repent. That's what change is. Change your attitude. Change your approach to living, your approach to one another. You can see why the disciples of John were puzzled. I mean, they couldn't make sense of what he was saying. They didn't understand. They were much like the coach last season of the Riders. I don't understand this. What kind of change? What should we do then? The crowd asked. What should we do? The message says, then what are we supposed to do? John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. The one who has a vehicle should give a ride. And the soldiers asked him, and what should we do? And John told them, no shakedowns, no blackmail. Be content with your rations. Be content with what you got. Change the way you think. Change the way you live. Repent and be content. Be content with the time you have. Be content with the resources you have. Be content with the freedom that you're given. Be content. Don't fret. Don't worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. It's wonderful what happens when Christ comes and changes your life. And you have to wait no longer. It can happen today. But I'll tell you that change is difficult. It's a hard concept for us today. You're looking at me in green, and I'm thinking, man, I could have put that thing back on. Change. It's so easy for us to simply look around and see others who need you. Well, they need to change, you know. Because we know who needs to change. Because we don't see we need to change. Well, you know, if those people would just change and start doing it my way for a change, life would be a lot better. You may have heard that this morning. You're putting on your tie for worship. And you're putting on a Saskatchewan Rough Rider tie, and your wife might have said, wrong color, you know. See, we always want other people to change so we're comfortable with who we are. But you see, repentance means I got to change. It's about me, not about somebody else. It can be compared to the man who went to see a psychiatrist. He was wearing two strips of bacon attached to each ear, two fried eggs, sunny side up on the top of his beautifully hairless head. And the doctor came into the waiting room and looked at him funny and kind of jumped back a little bit. The fellow said, "Doctor, I'm here to talk to you about my brother. He doesn't look like me." "You'll get that tomorrow." Or at 3 a.m. or whenever the game is on. John says to his followers, to his disciples, "You got to change the way you're thinking. You got to change who you're believing in. Because Jesus is going to be the Messiah, not John." Change your way of living. See, Jesus is in the midst of us right now, and he's telling us to do the same thing. Change. Repent so you can be content. To each of us, he's saying, "I want to talk to you about you. Not about someone else. I want to talk about you. You don't have to wait any longer." It's fascinating about this passage in Scripture are the words people used to inquire because they questioned, "What ought we to do?" And John just said, "Change." People who were changed asked, "What do we do now? We've changed. We don't know what to do now." And that question arises throughout Scripture. Like when the Apostle Peter, he cried out, "Jesus is risen." And the people asked, "Well, what do we do now?" What do we do now? Give yourself. Give yourself to the Christ of Christmas. Give to those who are in need. Give to your spouse, to your children. Give to those who need forgiveness, your forgiveness. Maybe it's your son, maybe it's your daughter. Give encouragement to those who require it. A parent who's in need of just companionship, a friend who's in need of advice, or give of your time to the church or to a stranger. Give of your love to those who seem unlovable. I want to tell you, you can make it through Christmas. You can. Jesus calls us to repent. He says, "Change the way you think so that you can trust me with everything that's uncertain." We don't need to ask ourselves, "What should we do now?" We need to ask, "When are we going to let it happen?" And you can't say, "Well, may I change?" You have to say, "I want to change." At that wonderful moment, you'll understand more completely than ever before what Christmas is really all about. Verse 16, the latter part, "But one more powerful than I will come. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." You may be here today, you may be spiritually drained, and I can tell this month ahead, December, is the very month when it becomes easy to lose your devotional life, your spiritual time with God. This is how the enemy works. He seeks to pull you away from Bible reading and prayer time because you're involved in Christmas stuff. Ministry programs, school programs, shopping details, all clutter your days till the end of December. And then you say, okay, I got to get it right again. I want to tell you, you can make it as long as you do not let go of your time with God. You can make it. Repent so you can be content. Change so that you will be changed to others. I want you to just, I want us to just close our time. I want you to just proclaim a few things. I want you to say, I can be content. Just repeat after me. I can be content.
I can be content.
You say, I can make it. You say it again. I can make it.
I can make it.
Okay, now say it like you can believe. I can make it.
For with God, all things are possible.
One more time. For with God, all things are possible. Amen. You choose. You choose. You can go on waiting. Or you can start living. It's your choice. Let's pray. You may be here today and feel like nothing wonderful ever happens to you. Or maybe you feel like you have nothing that gives you satisfaction, that there's no joy. Even if you've come here today feeling like you're at the bottom of the sea, maybe the ship is sinking. Maybe you're like last year's Grey Cup. You're wondering what's going on around you and your world is shaking. Hang on. Maybe you need to cry out in repentance and say, God, somewhere along the line, I missed trusting in you. God will give you a new outlook, a new perspective, a new point of view, a new attitude. God will grant you joy. If you ask for it, if you begin to trust him with everything you've got, you can make it through this Christmas. Jesus is here now to heat up your heart and your mind and your soul with the fire of God's love. Open up your mind and your heart and your soul to what maybe change you need, what change needs to take place in your life. Don't just talk about it. Just talk to him and say, God, I need the change. I'm tired of waiting on you. I'm going to start living for you. I can only make it, God, with you. And I know I can only be content if I come and repent. And so, God, I just ask you right now to just cleanse me, wash me, make me whole so I can glorify you each and every day. God, we know Christmas is based on our choice. Just like John's disciples had a choice to make. They were not supposed to be serving John. They were supposed to be serving Jesus. And God, I know that it was unsettling for them and it's unsettling for us at times to just understand that this is about you. Our life is about you. It's not about what we want or how we want people to be. It's about you. And Lord, as the world shakes around us and we know stuff is happening, may we trust you, even though we don't know. We will trust you who does know, because we know with God all things are possible. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. Pastor Brandon.